Hi. Did you know that you can watch Last Podcast on the Left and Side Stories on our Patreon right now?
Yes, that's patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. But over on TikTok, you can see the hottest, tightest, funniest clips from the show right there.
It's TikTok.
TikTok. It's at LP on the Left. It's the same as our Instagram. You already follow the Instagram. Why don't you go follow TikTok?
But it's on TikTok.
Yeah, because seeing is believing.
Yep.
So just go check it out. Watch it.
Go send our podcast to China.
I love TikTok the crocodile. It's my favorite TikTok.
It's the only one he knows.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last
Podcast on the Left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Yes. It's I, Henry Zebrowski. Here within the void.
Oh! Oh! Is this mysterious?
It is. It would be mysterious if the listeners could see you.
Oh! I'm in the same exact studio where they filmed the moon landing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, apparently they filmed the moon landing in Atlanta, where Henry Zebrowski is recording from right now.
Yeah.
Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left. I'm Marcus Parks here with Ed Larson in Los Angeles, where nothing fake is ever filmed.
Oh, my Whoa. God, except for the boobies.
Except for the boobies and some of the butts. It is kind of funny. If you see in the video version, I'm wearing a black shirt, too. So I sort of look like, do you remember Mum and Chants?
No, I don't know what Mum and Chants.
Remember Mum and Chants? From the 1970s where they would do like puppet things on real television where they would do a lot of like, it's like, I just look like, oh, I feel like I'm in Haozu.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't know it had a name though. Yeah.
You don't know Mum and Chants? Well, I don't want to fucking know you anymore. I can't believe
you. You can't just describe things by going, oh, that's not evocative.
If you knew Mum and Chants, then if the audience knows Mum and Chants, then they know what I'm doing. It's just, it's disembodied head and hands.
It reminds me of Labyrinth, you know, the guys whose heads would go up and down and they started playing basketball with them and shit.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, this week we got a true crime roundup for everyone.
Woo!
Bang, bang, bang.
I know we have been prepping you guys for doing a huge series, and we are just about to do two massive series, and we actually just got off a call where we have planned out the next year of gut busting content.
Yeah,
for you pieces of shit. All right, but right now I'm here, man. I'm working on a pile.
Yeah, we're there now. Yeah, pieces of shit.
Fucking pieces of shit. And I'm fucking.
That's
here.
Henry speaking. I like you.
Yeah. I'm breaking my back on a pilot presentation right now where I have to fake playing soccer.
Yeah. And how's that going?
I am sore. Yeah. And I got hit. I got hit with the ball yesterday.
How many times?
Once.
Yeah, well, you're a goalie, right?
Yeah,
yes.
You're not even doing
You're supposed to get hit.
Yeah,
I asked them after I got hit once to please be careful with me because we're playing against. It's a bunch of actors playing against a real soccer team, and so the guy uncorked on me before we knew, and it just hit me right in the chest. Also, I'm wearing like full body armor underneath my goalie uniform, and then another goalie came in, and he wasn't wearing any of that. And I was like, I don't understand, because I have like knee guards on, I got hip guards on, I got a chest plate that I'm wearing.
You're precious.
I am. I can't be hurt.
Just remember, every time they kick, you say the words, not in the face.
Yeah. Not in the face. Not in the face. But it's been a lot of fun. We're having a good time. It's me, Rory Scovel, and Dave Willis, and we're enjoying ourselves.
That's awesome.
That sounds wonderful.
It's really But you know who's also a little fucking bitch is that Jennifer Crumbly.
Yeah.
Jennifer Crumbly this is one hell of a story. I'm not sure if you've been following this one, but there was a school shooting in Michigan in 2021. This kid killed four people, and he killed them with a gun, a handgun that had been gifted to him by his parents.
Oh, like Dylan Roof.
Somewhat, yeah. And he had, of course, he was taken alive. And he was charged. He, you know, found guilty, life in prison without possibility of parole. But for the first time, they also charged the mother with
and the father
and the father. The mother has been tried. The father's trial is coming up with involuntary manslaughter because they were the ones who gave the kid the gun, despite seeing many signs that he was mentally unstable. And she has been found guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Good. And now this is huge, though, because it's I understand as a parent of two willful dogs. It's hard to be held responsible for the actions of a chihuahua, right? Yeah. Like, Carmi's aggressive. But Carmi also, at the same time, is loving. I know her. I know Carmi. And I want the world to know Carmi. You know what I mean? But if Carmi kept sending me letters from the groomer that said stuff like, I think of blood. I dream of death. All I want to do is kill, 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 kill. First of all, kind of cute. She's learned to write. Second of all, it's like you would want to do something. And in this case, what we're seeing is this like kind of like the reason why it's unprecedented is because who wants to be held responsible for the actions of others? Because, you know, no one's really technically responsible for anybody else's life. That's not how it fucking works. But yeah. Like this idea of like it was so over the line how much Ethan Crumbly was asking them for help. Like other kids, like we've seen other kid school shooters. It seems to a lot of times it's like, yes, there is some planning, but a lot of it is pretty, it's in the moment and it's a hidden thing. It's like they're not telling people. You know, like Ethan Crumbly like showed his mom his journal saying, I want help. He texted her again and again and again saying, I'm seeing demons. I'm seeing visions. I'm seeing the shit. He's telling his teachers like, I want to kill. And no one is, and they're telling them, but even though Jennifer Crumbly says that she never heard from the school.
Well, he got caught searching online for bullets at school. He would watch shooting videos in class and he would draw violent images. Like the school knew something was up and they were contacting her. Of course yeah. they yes. were contacting her. And her saying that her defense of him telling her that like I see demons, blah, blah, blah. They said it was a cute inside joke amongst the family that the house was haunted.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
How old was he when he did the deed?
He was 15.
15.
Yeah, he no. Was, this is yeah. Lock her up, lock him up, and then start going. And now that they have done this and she is guilty, they need to go after fucking Dylan Roof's stepdad.
Yeah.
And you know, start and you this is an actual way to start stopping this shit.
Yeah, well, to really go after the parents who give him the guns.
Yeah.
But you need a chain of evidence. You need to have the backup to put it through a trial. So the one thing that this case has that no other case has really had up to this point is fucking, it's all in writing. Yeah. And like you're looking at Jennifer Crumbly, who like the way the prosecution set it up was essentially she was too busy getting railed in order to watch after her son. She described herself as a helicopter parent, but then all of a sudden she's talking about how like she's got to go visit her horses three times a week. The horses got more one-on-one time yeah. with Jennifer Crumbly than her murderous son. And then she had an affair going on with some other guy who looked like, I mean, she looks like Elmer Fudd, but this other guy looks like a guy that would fuck Elmer yeah. Fudd. You know, yeah. And these guys are, but then she was an adult friend finder, setting up all these like trysts and doing all this. She had a lot of energy for her cooch, but she didn't have a heck of a lot of energy for her son.
Man, so people are actually on Adult Friend Finder?
I guess, buddy.
Yeah.
No, it's,
I always
it
thought
is
that
real.
Was a scam.
Well, I'm sure I don't know if it is. I feel like them saying that there are definitely local MILFs.
Yeah.
Like trying to fuck you tonight. Like,
people
I don't
get
know.
Divorced. You know, like.
That is true. There are definitely horny singles in my area, technically.
Yeah. There
I
are.
I didn't think they would be on Adult Friend Finder.
Man, that's so crazy she calls herself a helicopter parent. I always thought the worst helicopter parent was Kobe Bryant. But.
I can't believe that you would do that on this fucking show.
I can't believe here in Los Angeles.
How fucking dare you? The land of Kobe. you would ever say something like that.
I'm in Atlanta. My name's Henry Zabrowski. Yeah.
No. But you know, it's really fucked because, I mean, at least she wasn't on Child Friend Finder, because that's really and they should get rid of that app. But the Adult Friend Finder stuff is very, like, it just shows that her head was not in the game. But in the end, her defense attorney was one of the single worst attorneys I have ever seen. I watched hours of the trial.
Yeah.
She quoted, her first line was quoting Taylor Swift. She then came in and she openly would weep. She pretended to gag when they showed footage of the shooting. She openly wept in trial, which is like, they instruct their clients to show no emotion.
And yeah, that's why they pump you full of like Xanax and Valium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's gotta be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely be all zannied up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trial.
Yeah, Zanny the Nanny would be all over me.
Yeah. I would definitely be circuiting. But I also feel it's hard because then you look at, you remember it was the documentary, I believe it was about Adam Lanza's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have the other side where they really don't know what the fuck to do when they got a kid that's like, I hate to use the term born bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, a kid that's coming out of the fucking oven with some misfiring wires.
Yeah.
Like, and then what do you do then? Like, can you control the every single day actions of a child? They're still like an adult. They're still an autonomous human being.
I mean, you can control how many guns you keep in your house.
Yes. I think that's the thing. I think that's a big question. That's all, like, what can we do? It's like, maybe make it so a 15-year-old can't easily shoot a bunch of people with a semi-automatic gun.
And didn't Lanza kill his mom?
Yeah. He killed her first.
Yeah.
And he killed her first and then went out to Sandy Hook.
That should have been enough warning for this bitch.
But no,
I'm sorry, call her that.
You can't believe.
I'm just mad about the situation.
Yes.
But I think that it was from the perspective of another woman writing about a kid with these types of emotional issues. But this is a woman that was working her ass off trying to help it. Meanwhile, like, Ethan Crumbly was begging for help to everyone that would listen to him. And because, again, like, sometimes that's what a parent's supposed to do. A parent's supposed to come in and not be your friend. In my mind, I don't know. They're supposed to, like, sometimes it'd be cool if you could, like, you know, bum a cigarette or drink a beer with your dad or whatever. But I also think that you, at the same time, I don't know. No, I never got to do that with my father. My father had a problem with alcohol.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't be, if your kid is begging for help, you shouldn't be meeting a guy named Brian Malocci in the Costco parking lot to fuck him during daylight hours.
That's where the affair was happening.
Yeah. 6 months meeting up in the Costco parking lot to fuck in the car.
Man, that guy must have had a big dick, you know, because at Costco, everything's much larger.
Very big.
You very get big. Hungry after sex, you fuck, you go inside, you get a hot dog.
Yeah, 10 pounds of peanut butter. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. Every single time I go to get the good discount land from a Costco, I get hard just thinking about it from a Pavlov dog-like memory of me coming each time I'm at Costco.
Yeah, I would go get Kirklanded. I'll be back soon, so.
All right, well, that's one horrible story of the week.
How long is she looking at? Like, because obviously they didn't sentence her yet.
It would be counts of involuntary manslaughter. I'm not exactly sure.
It's got to be at least 5 years.
She's getting one for each victim. She's getting one for each four of the four people that died in the shooting. She is getting each one. She's
great new precedent. I totally believe in this.
Yeah, I believe in this as well.
Yeah, keep fucking guns out of children's hands.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a mental...
That's that easy.
Yeah, just keep guns out of kids' hands, and if you put a gun in a kid's hand and he kills someone, you're held responsible.
Yes!
My question is, though, what I do understand there are some families that like to hunt animals and have that kind of stuff, like...
Well,
I don't
know. You
get a
lock for your gun closet.
But that's the thing.
That's a part of what the prosecution was saying, is that the guns were not properly kept, obviously. That they were not, you know, like, the father was like, I put that gun location at a new place each day. One time it was in the freezer next to the ice cream. The other day it was next to the Wi-Fi router. And the other day,
hold on, I can't remember.
Where the hell was it? Oh, it was in Ethan's hands. A lot of times I keep it in his bed.
No, I come from a hunting family and there were guns around all the time.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that if your kid starts acting twitchy, put the guns away.
Amen.
Get rid of, you know, get put, take, give the guns to your friend Bill.
Yeah.
Just give your guns to your friend. It's like, hey, why don't you hold on to the guns for a while? You know, Brian's acting a little twitchy.
Yes.
Marcus,
everyone would be happy to do it.
Were you not twitchy?
Not that twitchy.
So the guns were never thought of being taken away from you at any point. No one ever looked at you.
Because dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're digging dirt. You're writing poetry. You're talking about noise rock.
No, I certainly didn't hold on to a gun for a very long time one deep, dark night.
Hell yeah.
Jesus Christ.
In high school, who didn't? Who didn't do that? You guys all did that. I mean, it was more of a dramatic thing for myself than it was for anything else. But, you know, it was dramatic effect.
My father, honestly, was very good with his gun.
Yeah.
He did, and I was largely scared of it as a kid.
Yeah. As you should be.
What's funny, though, is that that gun was just like that gun that night was when I was away from home working construction, like doing journeyman construction for a summer before I was my senior year in high school. And I don't remember where the gun came from. The gun was like just in the house where I was staying at the time. I was just a free floating gun. There are so many guns in this country.
Lock them up.
Yeah. It's kind of like
so many.
It's like
guns.
The Bible in a hotel room in Texas where they just have been like, now you could use that gun, but no, we're going to charge the room if you don't come back with it.
No, it was a house that was written with two other dudes, and that was just a gun there. And
yeah,
like,
there was a Bible, and there was a gun shaped hole in it.
But no, the guns were always just out and about. You know, yeah. There was a gun room. But I wouldn't call it a gun safe. It was just the gun room where there were many, many guns. But they were hunting guns, you know? Like, they were all, like, shotguns, rifles, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, like, I mean, this is before the days of AR-15. This is the 90s, so.
Yeah, exactly. No, everything actually had a purpose.
Yeah, I could have done some damage, but not that much damage.
Yeah.
You know, at least you didn't have a bullet library.
No.
Because I feel like that's how you know if it's bad. Like, I feel like it's not so much the guns as it's the bullets.
Mm.
Also, where you were, there were like no people.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know,
like no one to kill.
If I wanted to, I could have had a day.
You could have killed a bunch of people.
I could have had a day. Because remember, we were high school during Columbine.
Oh, yeah. Man. I was in student council during Columbine. That shit was crazy.
How did being in student council affect the Columbine experience?
Well, they like took student council aside the day after Columbine, and they like sat us down with a bunch of counselors and like, you're the leaders of the school, you need to find out like if anyone's acting funny. And then like some kid, I remember some kid, no one knew, a weird drifter type kid, he wore a long trench coat the next day, and he stood up on a table during the cafeteria, and he said trench coat mafia motherfucker, something like that.
Jesus.
And then a bunch of the black kids kicked his ass.
Gotcha.
And that's called a self-correcting ecosystem. And that's what you need to do. That's what each community needs. Well, I remember I was in a play and our play was canceled because it had a bomb in it. It had a bomb in it. And then we had to be on morning television talking about our First Amendment rights. Because I remember being there and being with my beret. Literally, I wore my beret because I had my, because I was the president. No, that was before I was president, but I was starting doing my affectation period. And I remember being there and just being like, it is not fair. You would not allow us freedom of expression. It was just like, it's just a stupid play. It had a bomb in it. Yeah, I don't know like, why
it's
it was
not
canceled.
Like you wrote it. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Like Neil Simon or something.
It barely registered in Rochester, Texas. Like, yeah. I remember it happening and I was like, wow, that's weird. And then just day went on.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. Oklahoma City, that was our big one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City bombing. That was our, because we weren't too far from Oklahoma. So that was our big one.
I remember that was the last time I ever talked to my grandmother.
Was she in the building?
I was randomly homesick from school or something, day of Oklahoma City, and she called and I picked up and like we had a nice long conversation. It was like the last, like truly one of the only conversations I remember with her.
Wow. So you connect the Oklahoma City bombing with your favorite conversation with your grandmother. You're like, hey, it's right, Nanu. Oh,
Babu.
No, Nanu had some really controversial opinions about Waco.
Oh, yeah, it's different. Yeah,
Baba she called was it a Satanist, I believe.
But that's your, like, do you know that or was that?
Yeah. She was into witchcraft and shit like that. But I didn't learn too much. Yeah, because she was out of my life by the time I was 10. So my memories are a little hazy.
Wow. That's cool.
She was a fucker, but she wasn't my real grandmother. She was the woman my grandfather married.
Wow.
Baba. What a bitch.
It stands for
Live from your grave.
Hello. Ed Larson and Amber Nelson from The Brighter Side here to check in with you, see how you're doing.
Is your day more disappointing than a gas station sandwich?
Are you trying to put one foot in front of the other in a glue factory?
Did you try to throw your air fryer in the bathtub, but nothing happened because you were too lazy to plug it in first?
Then The Brighter Side podcast is for you!
Oh, yeah!
Each week, we take nasty, dookie, stupid, dumb,
stinky, no good, doo-doo factory,
boo,
caca-like topics, and try to find the brighter side. Hey, Amber, what's the brighter side of waking up chained to a bed in Russia?
At least they have free healthcare.
That's right! So start your weekend off right every Friday with The Brighter Side on The Last Podcast Network.
You beautiful babies.
All right, let's get into this show. I want to talk about this pastor. You got this roll up on this show. I want to get into this story.
I love this story so much. A Colorado pastor who was charged with stealing more than $1 million from his Christian community in a cryptocurrency scheme has admitted to the fraud, but argued that God instructed him to carry it out.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. God, of course, God wants crypto. Something else you can't see or feel.
Just have faith that it'll be worth something. If we believe that it has worth, then it will be worth something.
It's transubstantiation. It works. We did an interview with Paul Hynek, that is J. Allen Hynek's son, and he was all about this concept that if aliens existed, they definitely use crypto. And he was working on this alien-based crypto for a long time, and it has just as much water as this guy's fucking Christian crypto.
Eli Regalado and his wife, Caitlin, are charged with creating and selling their cryptocurrency known as Index Coin, that's INDX in all caps, coin, okay, to Christians based in their hometown of Denver, allegedly telling would-be investors that the Lord had told him people would become rich if they invested.
You got to believe.
There's something about putting an X in the middle of a name without any vowels around it. It's like Nexium, yeah. All the index, like if there's a big X in there,
stay
beware.
Away.
Stay away.
It's like stay away. It's telling you.
It is just like, you know, yeah. Twitter becoming X. Yeah. It's like stay away.
Exactly. Yeah. The state flag of Alabama, big X.
And bang it, bye. Go away. It's poison.
Stay away from the X's.
But man, it's that idea of like you had the opportunity to do the, you know how like on top of Jesus, it had the I'm nailed right in initials.
Oh,
the INRI. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Inry.
I never thought of it like that.
Wow, I'm nailed
great.
Right in. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, that's the joke. That's a whole joke.
I never heard the joke before.
Yeah, I've never heard that joke.
Did you write it?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty certain that I read that from some dirty joke book back in the day. But Inry coin would have been huge.
Yeah, Inry coin would have been great. No, Index coin. Index coin was, by the way, practically worthless in reality, prosecutors said in the statement. Investors lost millions of dollars while the Regalados used their investments for lavish living. In a video statement about the charges, Eli admitted that the couple had squandered $1.3 million that was raised through cryptocurrency. Here's a quote from a video. The charges are that me and Caitlin pocketed $1.3 million. I just wanted to come out and say those charges are true.
That's fucking awesome. That's just like, I love that.
I can't tell a lie.
I physically can't.
He doubled down so hard. He said a few $100,000 went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do.
Yeah, man.
He said we took God at his word and sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit. But he still believes that God will, quote, work a miracle in the financial sector.
Yeah, well, God loves carpenters. We know this.
Yes. Wouldn't it be
carpenters work?
Maybe God doesn't understand what a blockchain is as well. Yeah. Maybe God decided it was like, you know, crypto sounds like a thing that we could put some disposable income in. It's just a sea if it rises in worth. And then as soon as it happens, he's like, oh, I always should have known. Crypto is fake money.
Is that God speaking?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, see, I always figure, can't be talking like this.
Hey, hi. Hey, everybody. Hey, it's me. Hi. Hey, Simple Sundown. Nail to a stick. Bye-bye. Oh, I'll get him again. So thank you for killing my son.
So you imagine God to sound vaguely like Prince.
Yes.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's a prince.
Oh, yeah. Very much
so. He's Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. And tiny. Mm-hmm. So God is a tiny Jehovah's Witness from Minnesota.
But very powerful. But,
so this is what I find interesting is that they raised, though, they did make $3.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they left some. So that's kind of nice.
Well,
they could give it back.
They could give it back. They took. Well, they did.
No,
raised-
No. You're excommunicated. Just even for fucking thinking that.
But what's incredible is that they got $3.2 million from just 300 people. Like,
whoa.
That's incredible. Like, these people had some rich fucks on the line.
I mean, if you're stealing from rich people, I don't really care.
Yeah.
If I can be honest.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Or it's the idea, it's kind of, sometimes you wonder, are they rich or are they just giving them everything that they have?
That's usually the case.
Yeah.
You'll find again and again when you get that sort of thing, it's usually people betting their entire life savings
on this. People will, to the church especially, like people will just give every cent they have to the church thinking it's, first of all, they feel guilty. They put so much guilt on them to not give to the church.
Yeah.
My mom was like this. She would like borrow money from me and then give it to the church and it would make me fucking insane.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like, it's people do this all over the country and it's just like, because they believe the more they give, the more chance they have of going to heaven.
And these are the, like, all of these small online churches that are, this is one of those, yeah, they've been popping up, especially after COVID. So many of them popped up. Twin Flames is like a pretty big example of it. But this is just called the Victorious Grace Church. There's no physical location for it. It's an online only church, and it's just these two people in front of fucking, in a Zoom.
Man, and they really, God, that's so smart.
Yeah,
we
no
gotta
overhead.
Do this.
Yeah, we don't even need pay rent anymore.
Nothing.
It's so smart, man. We need to return to church. What will these churches do with the entire church real estate market's going to collapse unless we start forcing these pastors to return to the pulpit?
$1.3 million out of that $3.2 million was used for personal luxury purchases, including jewelry, a pricey home renovation project, which I mentioned before, and an au pair.
Oh, really?
An au pair? Is it au pair?
I think it's au pair.
Yeah, an au pair. They hired an au pair.
I mean, so to take care of their children,
to
I
take
guess?
Care of their children, yeah.
And to fuck him.
Well, that's why they're called an au pair.
And additionally, they had no experience with cryptocurrency. A third party auditor also said the index coin code had significant technical problems, whatever the fuck that means.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But the Regalados continued to market the cryptocurrency as a low risk, high reward option. Eli had claimed to investigators that an amount of the raised money would be used to help widows and orphans, but those purported payments were also personally spent by the Regalados.
Oh, come on. At least help the widows and the orphans.
Nah, why? No. Why?
You mean suckers and losers?
No. Oh, yeah. She needs a breakfast nook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those widows, you know where they are. Adult Friend Finder.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to find a recently widowed woman who is going to slob that fucking dick, man.
Yeah, and Index Coin, and they also had their own exchange where Index Coin was exclusively available, the Kingdom Wealth Exchange. Actually, I want to see if the Kingdom Wealth Exchange is their own personal exchange, or maybe that's an exchange that is exclusively Christian-based cryptocurrency.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
It was on X. Indexcoin.com is still out. It's still there. You just found the perfect utility coin designed with your future in mind. It's your digital pass to a vibrant community and exclusive content designed to help you create wealth, discover your purpose, and build the life you long for. What you find interesting is that none of the, on the website, it has no Christian iconography.
No.
It is literally, it is very blank. So this was like a, they kind of tried to maybe get secular people involved as well. So maybe that was some of these people that was in there. And there's also something about the font that you could tell that it's Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That doesn't have a lot of style and taste.
Just looks yes. like Bible font.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, how do these guys get these haircuts where it's just all the hairs on the very, very tip of their skull?
Yeah.
Oh, like right here?
Do you
here?
See him? Like, look at his hair. If you look on the Kingdom Wealth Exchange Facebook page, this guy, like, how do you get that little poof? I think that's fake. I think that's can hair.
You think so?
You think it's spraying on?
Yeah, like, that looks like a little, little tuft.
Yeah, the tuft is hard. Yeah.
You remember Ziggy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's fake.
Yeah.
It could be a front wig.
It could be a lace
staple front. Staple gunned in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a front wig. Although I will, speak for our, fellow peanut-headed men out there. It's tough with the hair sometimes.
Oh, my God.
It's really tough having a peanut head and finding a good hairstyle for you.
You say I don't think you're a peanut head.
I feel like I'm a pretty solid peanut head.
What do you mean? What do you mean by a peanut head? You mean like long, like cylindrical?
It's small and somewhat long.
Yeah, and it dips in the middle, so there's a top and a bottom to it.
I don't see you as a peanut head. I think you do have a smallish head.
Yeah.
But so I.
You have a tiny head, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely
Which isn't
have a tiny
bad thing.
Head. It's not a bad thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. I mean, I couldn't. When I had long hair, I couldn't keep a hat on.
But that was the reason why I used to have long hair, is because the long hair made my
fluffed
head look
it
larger.
Out.
It fluffed it out. But now that I'm thinning, I had to let go of the long hair fantasy.
I got a big head, but my neck is big.
Comb it to the side. Eddie's the only man I've ever met that I have to go to the big and tall store to get him a fucking hat. He can wear a man's clothes. Like, he can buy a normal man's clothes, but you have to buy him a water buffalo's hat.
Yeah. That's why I like the ones with the snapbacks, because they really glue to my head and then it won't fly off.
It's nice. Yeah. It's a fucking massive head.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's so big.
Yeah, man. Like I said, the neck. That's the real honey.
Yeah. That's your problem there.
Well, you were working. That was for football.
Yeah.
That's what made you good at football.
Yeah, my father used to strap weight. He had this strap that I would go to my head, and there was a chain to the strap, and he put weights in the chain, and he would make me lift my head up and down. And so my neck just stayed huge my whole life.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
I would say the opposite.
No, I mean, incredible in the true sense of the word. It is not credible. It's incredible. Nothing credible about it.
21-inch neck.
Jesus Christ. Damn, dude. Damn. Like, what do we got? We got to get you some custom shirts.
If I want to wear a tie, I have to have a custom shirt. Yeah. Or I go to the big and tall store and then I have to just wear a giant shirt because that's the only one that has a neck big enough for me.
You know, Destination XL is nice and they kind of flirt with you.
Please. Let's go.
And by the way, this the financial accounts of the pastor and his wife have officially been frozen.
Yes.
So, yeah, they are out on the street right now.
Down with pastors, up with pastor.
Oh, yeah, I love an El Pastor. Mm. Oh, side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. What's your favorite pastor in Los Angeles? Because I've been looking for something. I need a hookup, man. I need something new.
Yeah,
sure. We got a bit of an update to one of the most horrifying stories I think we've ever covered on a true crime roundup. Henry, do you remember the story of the decapitated baby?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. There's a story that we covered last year in which a woman was giving birth and the doctor somehow, after being too forceful, trying to pull the baby out, decapitated the baby. In the middle of the birth.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It must have been using salad sporks.
Yeah, it was the crampons. You know what was
God,
difficult?
I feel evil. This is your
life. This is
too much for me. I try to joke around, but this is horrible. So what happened? They found the rest of it?
Yeah. It slid out. The one thing was that strange that now they're calling it a homicide, where it was like, what'd you think before that, her vagina was so strong that it would just snip?
No, it would snip. Be whether or not it was an accident, but that
whack,
is
whack, whack, whack,
but,
whack.
No, But that is, that's the whole thing, is that it is now being ruled for the longest time. They're like, is this an accident? Is this malpractice? Like, how are we going to charge? Like, a crime has been committed here, but what crime are we going to charge them with? And the doctor has officially not, the death has been ruled a homicide.
Well, he's going to get off then, because obviously he didn't fucking cut this child's head off on purpose.
No, involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, involuntary manslaughter. That's an easier charge.
Much easier charge.
Yeah, I think so. He'll get off on the homicide.
Yeah, but there's also so much cover up afterwards. It's like they took the corpse away, and the couple's like, hey, can I see the baby? Can I see the baby? They're like, no, you can't do that. That's not allowed. They're like, I have never heard of that before. They're like, yeah, you don't want to do that. And so what they did is they said that they took the corpse away, and they were sitting there in another room with a body and a head, and they're staring at it like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like,
yeah. Nurse McGillicuddy, I need you to get me some glue, and I am going to need a tape. Maybe we can hold it together with some PVC pipe or some toothpicks.
God, man, that must have been terrifying.
Well, what they did eventually is they thought, like, okay, let's just wrap it up real tight in some blankets.
There is no bluff that's going to cover this. There is no escapade that is going to make this work. There's no, the disorderlies aren't going to come in there. The fat boys can't fix this.
Fat boys aren't showing up.
This is the one problem the fat boys can't solve. And like, you know, and like, they can't do that. And then they can't wrap their way out of it.
No, they really can't. So what they did is they just wrapped it up tight enough where the head would stay in place. And they're like, yeah, there's your baby. Unfortunately, it died. You need to cremate this baby as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Like, they kept pushing, like, cremation. Don't do an autopsy.
I would have been saying the same thing.
They literally jammed it in a blanket and balanced the head on the top of it and just cinched it up like it was a burrito.
Mm-hmm. And so what, did she unwrap it and find out what happened?
No. It says, during this viewing, their baby was wrapped tightly in a blanket with his head propped on top of his body in a manner such that those viewing him could not identify that he had been decapitated. Healthcare providers allegedly encouraged the mother and father to have their son cremated instead of being sent to a funeral home for burial. It was only on July 13th, several days after the delivery and a day after Ross left the hospital, that staff told them about the decapitation.
We're going to let it settle down for a second. Like, we don't really need to rush into all this. Like, we could sit and think about this. What is a decapitation anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like it was the doctor's first delivery.
No.
You know, this is like clearly like a problem. It's not on purpose.
No, this guy says, investigator Betty Honey and director of, ooh, that's a great name. Betty Honey.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Director of the medical examiner's office, Brian Byers, consulted with experts, including one OBGYN who had done more than 9,000 deliveries. And they found that the death should not have happened.
Yeah. Oh.
The dead should not have happened. The hospital distanced itself.
At what level that it should have happened? Who is going to be like, exactly as ordered? Thank you very much. Does insurance cover baby decapitation?
Sometimes you can't help but decapitate a baby.
So, like, I'm trying to wrap this around my head. Just like the nurses. And I'm just like, did he just pull so hard?
He pulled so, yeah, it says
the head came off.
Fractured dislocation with complete transection, upper cervical spine and spinal cord.
Damn.
Shoulder, this is because
it's like a scorpion fatality.
Well, it was, the baby was caught in the vaginal canal. Like, the baby was caught, like, mm-hmm. It was, you know, they were trying to pull it out and it really was like just, you know, it just came off.
Does it really work like that? We got to be careful with
these
heads.
Was it alive?
It
was alive.
Yeah, it was alive, yeah.
Oh, damn. My God. That's not... Oh, yeah. You can babies... Oh,
patience.
God,
yeah. Well, they...
Which is something that doctor doesn't have anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the hospital distanced itself from the doctor last year, saying she was not an employee and only used the facility as the parent's doctor.
Wow.
Oh, my God. She was visiting. She was like a visiting practitioner coming in to handle the delivery.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man, that's not good.
It was a woman that did this?
It was a woman, yeah.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
A million years.
No, is it weird to say, is it fucked up to say it's kind of a relief? It's not another mark on men.
Yeah, the, you know, like, oh, the arrogance of man. Yeah. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Don't put this on us.
Oh, no, we didn't have anything to do with this. I just didn't know that, like, it feels like that scene from Dumb and Dumber with the
the pretty bird's
head.
Yeah,
pretty
bird.
Pretty bird. Yeah, like, oh, man. God.
I feel awful for everybody, man.
Yeah.
There's no way that this woman did this on purpose. No.
I feel bad for the doctor. Yeah, I really do. Because the doctor did not know that, like, but at least, you know, now, like, this serves as a gentle reminder to each doctor. Heads just pop off sometimes.
Yeah.
And you really need to be real careful with it. And that's why you got to grab them by the arms. Because if you pop off the arms, that's not as bad.
Yeah.
In my mind.
You're right. You're right. Not as bad. Yeah.
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 We got. Both have no choice but to say you're right.
That's why I'm here. Yeah. Sometimes I make a little bit of sense.
Live from your grave.
All right, well, let's go to a murder that involves some older people.
Thank God.
Thank God, because in the end, it's a little better when they're older because they've lived longer.
Mm-hmm. A 60-year-old man in Indiana was arrested over the weekend for killing his girlfriend, allegedly stabbing the woman to death and then setting up the scene to make it appear as though he was acting in self-defense.
This guy was bad at it, though. He was still fucking bad.
He was so bad. Charles Michael Calvert was taken into custody on Saturday and charged with one count of murder and the fatal stabbing of Marcia Linsky. According to a probable cause affidavit obtained by law and crime officers with the Allen County Police Department, at about 8:24 p.m. on February 3rd, responded to a 911 call about a stabbing at a residence. The caller identified himself as Calvert and allegedly stated that the victim had, quote,
come at me. He come at me with a knife.
It was not like that at all. He was very calm and very stoic about the whole thing, that she'd come at me with a knife. Calvert kept saying, she is no longer with us. She's no longer with us.
Yeah, she took a train to Dead Town. She's just not here anymore. What was her is no longer of us anymore.
Yeah. Calvert told dispatch he also had a knife and both knives were still located in the kitchen. He stated that we were having an argument. We were both holding a knife and she came at me.
Yeah.
During the 911 call.
As soon as she turned around, it was,
during the 911 call, Calvert told the dispatcher that his girlfriend became very, quote, became very verbal.
Very verbal.
Several times.
And I've talked with Natalie about being verbal. Because these people that you're with sometimes, they want to talk. And you're like, you're being verbal with me right now, and I need you to fucking back off. Okay? Yeah.
It's better than being gerbil.
Again, I have no choice but to agree.
Sure.
That statement. They also noted that he sounded very calm throughout the call and had no sense of urgency whatsoever. Upon arriving at the scene, first responders found Calvert outside the home and Linsky dead inside the home. She was lying face down with a big gash on her head and neck area. Investigators also noted that the victim's right thumb was severely cut to the point where it was nearly severed, which was indicative, of course, of a defensive wound. The kitchen appeared to be disheveled with a broken crock pot, bloody kitchen knives, food items scattered all about. Calvert said that he had been dating the victim for about a year, said the victim got very aggressive. The entire argument, Calvert said, the reason why she became very verbal, the reason why she freaked out.
Super verbal.
He was cutting onions and the victim stated he wasn't doing it correctly.
Oh, man.
I get it. You know, I've worked in lots of kitchens and like you're wasting a bunch of the onion, you know, like you fucking.
Yeah, that mise en place. Do you have any idea how expensive onions are?
Yeah.
Thanks, Grandpa Joe. Oh, Mr. Joe with his fucking spike in the onion market.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm voting for a change in 2024.
You know, if you're going to say that, like, you killed her in self-defense, you can't say you were both holding knives.
Yeah.
You got to say, I wasn't holding a knife. I took her knife and I killed her with that knife.
I had to kill her with a knife?
It's the idea that, you know, I'm a little bit responsible, but not all the way responsible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's kind of giving it, making yourself look a little bit guilty. It's like admitting to the lesser crime so you won't get charged with the bigger crime. Yeah. I beat him up, but I didn't shoot him. That's
well, you know
thing.
What? You also see a lot of these where they try to throw out an immediate, like, I was defending myself. We were defending ourselves. It's always like, you know. The very classic, it was some kind of Asian, you know, like there's always like somebody coming in and rushing in and killing everybody and then like just lightly disheveling things and then leaving.
Yeah. They don't realize that, you know, you can't, for example, you can't neatly place the knives next to the victim.
Yeah.
And assume that everyone's like, oh, yeah, this was definitely a fight.
Yep. Because they, you know, then he was covered in blood. She wasn't. He then obviously had washed himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing he came in. That's one of those things, too. If you're going to kill family members, don't answer the door to the cops with wet hair. You know what I mean? Like, don't show up smelling of pert.
Oh, yeah. I feel like
really good. You know, like, because he was very suspicious.
Well, there's just so much that he didn't do. I mean, authorities said there were no signs that Calvert attempted to render aid to Linsky after she was fatally wounded. Additionally, while there was an onion peel in the garbage, police said they did not observe a chopped up onion anywhere in the kitchen.
Ah, yeah, you got to chop up that onion.
Yeah, you can't just say onions.
And if anything, going to help you cry when the cops come.
Wouldn't it be amazing if that he chopped up the onion, but despite his own best efforts, he cut it up perfectly because he would not allow himself to cut it up. So when he sees these perfectly diced onions in a pile, he's like, there's no way she would have blown me if she saw how incredible these onions were. There's no way she would kill me for this and then had to throw it all out. I mean, like, the peel's enough. Mm-hmm. I think they get this story.
Yeah.
Show, not tell.
And he did shower and change. He did shower and change after fatally stabbing her.
Before the cops got there?
Before the cops got there.
Did he at least
call? You don't want to be a mess.
He's like, listen, 911, I'll be in the shower.
If you show up, I'm showering.
Yeah,
just
door's open.
I'll leave the door open. She's in the kitchen next to the onions.
I just feel a little icky.
Yeah. Because you know what? Honestly, I don't like strangers coming to my home if I'm not clean.
Yeah, there you go.
I always
just
shower.
Like this guy.
I'm just like him.
And he put in these other weird details, I guess, like setting up a defense that maybe that she was planning to kill him. The defendant told the dispatcher, quote, she parked her car outside of the garage. She never parks her car outside.
He also said,
she bought bleach today. She never buys bleach. In the year I've been with her, she's never bought bleach. So his idea,
knows that? I have no idea if Julie's ever bought bleach or not.
Yeah, I've been with Carolina 8 years. No idea. But I wouldn't, like, if she showed up with bleach one day, I wouldn't think, that's weird.
She's trying to fucking kill me.
It's funny, she never has a second cup of bleach in the morning.
Yeah. And so, it's very strange, because I don't look at that stuff. I don't look at the stuff that she comes in and out of the house with. No. Sephora bags come in and out. And again, I do want to, she did tell me when she explained to me about Sephora's forcing her to do that. I'm still waiting for my small claims court process to come through because what they're doing to our household, it's tearing us apart.
What Sephora's doing to your household?
Forcing my wife to get these items. Mm-hmm. She told me, in tears in her eyes, that Sephora has been forcing this on her.
Hold on a second. Is she going to the Sephora on Ventura? Because if she is, that's fucked up. Because that used to be a great diner called Dupars. And they had wonderful fucking pancakes. And they were open 24 hours a day. And then they shut it down.
It wasn't good
enough. They opened a Sephora in the middle of my favorite pancake house.
That's fucking
horrible.
That's
what you get. That's what happens. Sorry. It's called.
The pancakes are going all over these B-words faces.
Yeah, man. It's called the carousel of progress, bro. All right, pancakes were yesterday. Now we're using pancakes to apply dry powders.
Yeah, you tell her she orders online. I don't want her going to that store.
She does order online. I think she does.
Yeah, yeah. After the show, you got to let me know what your new pancake house is.
Oh, they have another Dupars at the farmer's market.
Okay. Yeah, you do. You just fucking, he's so full of shit.
House?
Yeah. Well, no, there is like a diner at the farmer's market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and they have great pies, too.
All right.
This is my thing. I'm going to eat pancakes and pie before buying clothes. So, honestly, that's actually a really good, fun idea. So, you could buy it at your most bloated.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're that's not buying idea. It skinny. Because I feel like that's a big problem with buying clothes sometimes. And sometimes I'm buying clothes when I'm feeling skinny. And then you put them on and I'm like, oh, I'm actually fat now.
Maybe you shouldn't be buying clothes at the farmer's market.
Yeah, where the fuck did that come from? Like, where did you?
What? It's a farmer's market. You're talking about at the Grove.
It's next to the Grove. I just saw an opportunity to make fun of Henry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, piece of shit.
I didn't know because every farmer's market I've ever been to, they weren't selling clothes. They're selling.
There was
pickles
one down the street.
And,
yeah.
Sometimes you'll have like an old lady with her wares, and she'll make like knit tops or something, or she'll make like something that no one wants. And,
yeah, like
and
a
she's
t-shirt
sitting there
that says the chili's in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With an arrow pointing down.
All right. Next story. A woman has been arrested in connection with the deaths of two cyclists who she allegedly hit while driving under the influence Saturday afternoon, but she does have an excuse. This woman said she had medical issues, including uncontrollable defecation, which caused her to hit and kill cyclist brothers participating in a St. George race. Julie Ann Budge, 48, was arrested in 2022 after striking 48-year-old Matthew Bullard and 49-year-old Adam Bullard. Both men died of their injuries after the incident. Budge told police she had various medical issues and had begun uncontrollably defecating herself without warning, causing her to swerve and hit the brothers.
What I love about reporting is that the first time this story was reported, it was just that she was under the influence. This is a horrible mistake. She hit these cyclists. It's not until after that the trial's coming up that it's all about her uncontrollable shitting. Yeah. And I love that as like, because you know that came from, that is from her defense.
Yeah, it's definitely from her defense. Yeah, because that's now, like before, it's like a tragic accident, two brothers killed while cycling, and now it's just every single headline, uncontrollable defecating.
Uncontrollable defecating.
Yeah. Did she have shit in her pants?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, but she also had fentanyl in her veins.
Ah! That'll do it.
Yep. That was the problem.
Yeah, old Budge making her fudge.
Hey, some of this Budge's fudge is making me sleepy.
I always said Budge's fudge would get her into trouble one day.
I knew it would. Yeah, fresh from the oven. My ass. Thanks, lady.
Now, do you think, like, because I don't know if she's going to get away with this. I do think it is, and this is advice to our listeners. I've heard this from police, truly, that it's one of the only excuse that would get you out of a speeding ticket would be, I massively have to shit.
I've done it.
That's a thing. Everybody's done it.
I asked you once. I was like, follow me home and give me a ticket or I'm going to shit my pants in front of you. And it works.
Yes.
Nice.
And it does. Yeah. You know, like, that's different. But killing a bunch of people and leaving the scene of the accident, I feel like at that point, it's much different. And if you do that and then you do have shit in your pants, then I think you stay at the scene of the accident and you just keep shitting. Because if you do that, then you can show everyone being like, look, it keeps coming. It's like that Dr. Seuss book with the guy with the hats.
Cat in a hat?
No, you remember the guy? It's like the man with the million hats, and the hats kept popping up on his head. But instead of that, it's fucking uncontrollable defecation.
Just going down, down each.
You know, hop on plop.
Yeah. I mean, no, everyone knows you're not supposed to take fentanyl in the morning.
Does everyone know that?
I mean, not her, but it just seems like crazy. Do drugs at night. You're not going to kill cyclists.
What wine pairs with fentanyl? Let me look this up. We will, honestly, after our last discussion, because we've been talking about fentanyl quite a bit. It keeps coming up. We got into it on Side Stories this week, too. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's super. It's a lot of it comes from China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was, I guess it's you're only supposed to use a little bit. You're supposed to use a little bit
to help you die.
But they use it as in pain medication, and they use it in other stuff. And there's like people, you know, but it's apparently like that's one of the reasons why they do put it in drugs, is it's also highly, highly addictive.
Yeah.
And there's also apparently an attraction. Like, this is like one of those like fucked up things that's interesting, is that sometimes I've heard, I had a couple of people write in that talked about this like phenomena of somebody who is a hardcore addict, hardcore drug addict, will actually hear that the drugs killed somebody from their dealer. And it's actually more attractive for them, because then they know that it means that their dealer has really strong stuff, and that they get caught in sort of that feedback loop of looking to be as high as absolutely possible. And they, you know, you just end up not waking up.
It's like people who knowingly do crocodile.
Yeah.
Yes. They just are looking to have that story, I guess. And one arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some really intense shit going on in America right now with something that's very close to crocodile.
Really?
Yeah. I'll look in. We'll talk about
it
more
later. Ooh, this is a new drug?
Yeah. It's a new kind of drug. It's getting pretty fucking hairy. It's getting really hairy out there in America, people.
What's it called? Huey Lewis. He wanted a new drug, and this is what happened.
And then he got it.
No, shit's getting real hairy out there.
Really?
For folks, yeah.
No new drugs.
Yeah.
The drugs we have do the job. They work.
Yeah, they do work. They've worked for many years.
They've always worked.
But they're not that old, you know? Yeah. Like, the drugs that we have, relatively speaking, you know, like, you know, methadone, heroin, not that old. Opium is kind of old, but, like, heroin.
Yeah.
Pretty
but
fairly
Keith
new.
Cocaine, Richards is still alive.
Cocaine's super new.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's from the 20s, right?
Yeah, but as far as, you know, being in the Western world, yeah, cocaine's pretty new.
Oh, yeah, it's called, the new drug, apparently, it's called Trank Dope.
Trank Dope, yeah.
Whoa, cool. Wow.
Yeah, I've seen interviews with guys.
Cool.
It's like, he's a guy showing, he's like, yeah, my arm is infected. It's going to fall off. I'm not going to stop.
Damn.
But
yeah,
just,
man.
Just so matter of fact about it.
God.
It's a hot new realness.
Anything that much.
Like, you've never liked anything that much.
Yeah, like, not even like Led Zeppelin. Or like,
dude, not if we don't take care of ourselves, you know, it's one of those where, you know, meat will kill us. That is just, you know, our delicious love
off.
Of
meat. I made the pastor joke earlier, but I've been laying off the red meat.
Yeah, I swing back and forth, man. I'm trying to, man. Ups and downs is hard for me. I love that meat.
Mm-hmm. More fish.
I know.
Yeah. And we'll get to it eventually.
Live from your grave.
Last story of the day. David C. Schreutman is charged with first-degree murder in the January 30th, 2024 stabbing death of Mary Rose Feely outside of her apartment in Somerville, New Jersey. He allegedly wrote a step-by-step plan to kill her, had a full manifesto, and fatally stabbed her 37 times.
Damn.
Yeah, this dude... It's also when you look at him, I think it's funny that he's, I mean, that's not funny, but I think it's funny that he's from Jersey and he looks like a trauma character.
Yeah,
like he looks like the nerd before he turns into the Toxic Avenger.
He does.
Like, and his name is David Schreutman. So you can tell that he's like doing this weird ass, like he was obsessed with this girl from school. And after high school, this is like one of those, like, that's got to be obviously very creepy. Like, somebody who's been obsessed with you for like 10 years from high school, just showing back up in your life, who's just been like, you have been the center of every thought that they've had for a decade. And you just went to, you just like lived your life. And you're like, if someone said, do you remember David Schreutman? You're probably like, yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, he can draw your face from memory.
Yeah. Well, several local media outlets obtained a probable cause arrest affidavit detailing the case. Investigators quickly identified Schreutman as a suspect. Cops went to talk to Schreutman on Friday, but he declined to speak with them. Detectives reportedly noticed a white garbage bag over the front seat of his car, along with a black gaiter and duct tape. What's a gaiter? G-A-I-T-E-R?
A neck gaiter?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I believe, isn't that what you do in the, isn't that what you wear as a waiter's? Wrong.
Yeah, no, a neck gaiter, that's like something you wear like instead of a mask.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it's a neck thing and it goes up over your nose. Yeah, it's a neck warmer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. People were using them instead of masks during COVID. That's the only reason I remember.
Yeah.
The only thing is I can't find the manifesto. That was like, I was looking for it.
They haven't released it yet. They haven't released the manifesto
yet.
It was
all on post-it notes, so they don't know the order.
Well, you know I love a manifesto. I love a manifesto.
We all love a manifesto, but I also, I have a feeling they're just using the word manifesto without really understanding what manifesto means, because it's it's a plan. Yeah. Step by step. A plan is not a manifesto.
It's a blueprint.
Yeah, blueprint. A manifesto is if...
I did it.
Yeah, if there was some sort of grand...
Scheme
behind the whole thing. If there was some sort of grand inspiration for doing this, some reason, then it would be a manifesto. This is just a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know a nerd did it, because he fucking wrote it all down first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what if it was these a guys jock, are... the jocks do crimes of passion.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. We're obviously criminals are dumb. That's just kind of an inherent thing where, like, because you can't read anything about crime and see how often people get caught, how, you know, like all these, like, but this happens like a lot.
Yeah. Rational people don't kill people.
Yeah.
But there was a guy that killed his parents that we covered a little bit on Side Stories. Same thing where he wrote this like step by step, like, you know, when you write plans, like, I don't like to write necessarily like to-do lists, because sometimes it feels like I've already done everything. It feels like I'll write a to-do list and I'm like, and done. And then like I close the book and I never look at it again. You know, being like, very good. That's good work, Henry. And then like, you know, then nothing gets done. And then people are calling me and I'm missing shit. And, you know, just kind of space my way through it. But these guys keep doing this shit where they write it all down. And then obviously the plan goes awry. Because it doesn't work like that. Murder is like this, like, extremely, Eddie Kemper talked about this. Bumblebutt talked about the idea that he thought that when he stabbed somebody, they just go like, and they'd be dead. You don't realize, like, no, it's actually like, sometimes it takes a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like, strangling somebody takes 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you say that in your head, that's not a lot of time. But have you ever just sat and squeezed your throat for 5 minutes? You've got to have strong hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really got to work on that.
He stabbed her 37 times.
Damn.
You know? And they'd say that, you know, they always say that it's, you know, when you stab somebody, it's like, oh, they stabbed him so many times, it had to have been a crime of passion. But sometimes they just keep stabbing because it takes a long time for someone to bleed out. It takes a long time for someone to die from stab wounds.
God, man.
Until you get, you know, above the 30 mark, and then it's going to be pretty quick.
So Jersey, they don't have the death penalty. But if they just put them back in the streets, Jersey would take care of them, though.
Well, you know, and then it just depends. Because Dustin Schreutman, he doesn't look like he's got a lot of friends.
No,
he's got no friends. That's why he fucking, not why he did this, but part of the reason.
David Schreutman, David Schreutman, he's going to be going away for a long time.
Good.
But that's the thing is that we talk about, like they say, the adage is like, you know, criminals are stupid. But, you know, the more I think the more apt way to put it would be the criminals who get caught are stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel it's just those that don't get caught are in Congress.
Hey, there we go. He's up and moving.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yes.
He's up in the air. He's having a good time.
But no, I find that criminals more often than not will end up shooting themselves in the foot. That is
most
just
the
like
time.
What they, that's just what they end up doing, because you have a lack of you obviously already have some form of lack of impulse control, unless you are an extremely patient criminal.
Well, unless you're Richard Kuklinski.
Yeah. Yes. Or you're like somebody like him, you got somebody BTK, super patient, evil villain, you know, but I still find that they're very rare.
They
of course.
Are.
Yeah. You just listed the two names that I know. It's like that do that.
Those
shit.
Ones, Dick Cheney. Like literally, like patient. Truly one of the like very patient, extremely capable
so
villain.
Patient, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Still alive.
I feel like he's got like his plan isn't done yet.
Yeah. He's still got a couple hearts in the freezer.
Yeah, like what does he have to do that's next?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh man. This is not that it's a contest, but this guy's the worst one today, right?
I'd say
the old man, at least it was like a crime of passion.
There is the doctor that pulled the head off of the baby and then tried
that
to cover
I just,
it up.
Yeah, so the covering up
that
of the,
was an accident.
That was an accident. Yes,
that's how I feel about
premeditated. Yeah, this is premeditated.
And what would you do?
Oh, if I tore the head off a baby, I'd try to
same
hide
thing.
It immediately.
And I would do the same. There's no way. I would literally go like, like hold me like, oh, it's crazy. And then go back out there and be like, you wouldn't believe that baby tried to attack a police officer. And I, you know, like I would be coming up with, I would be spinning tails and just flop sweat. I would just run away.
A ninja came into the hospital.
You don't know what
happened. You know?
And your baby, in a sheer moment of panic, your baby jumped in front of me to save me.
Give him a medal.
Give him a medal.
This baby's a hero.
I put it in for the Purple Heart.
Oh my God, its heart is purple. Yeah. Yeah, Eddie. Yeah, we're in the same page. Yeah. Wow. God, everybody's horrible, huh?
Yep. Yeah, especially us.
Yep. Well, next week we're going to get into one of the most horrible men to ever live.
Yeah, at least in the 20th century. Well, let's say one of the most horrible men in the latter quarter of the 20th century.
Okay.
Yeah, because he had a lot of competition in the 30s and 40s.
He really did.
But
he
I'd say, yeah, he's pretty bad for the last quarter.
Okay.
So we're going to get into one of the heaviest of heavy hitters. And we're going to be doing that next week, starting in a long, deep series.
Nice.
It's going back. We're putting a lot of history into it as well.
Yeah.
So just understand that's called context. And you're going to learn and you're going to like it along with your murder.
Well, there's also going to be murder in the historical context.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of blood.
Battles.
In the next couple. A lot of blood. And then we're getting into, you know, we kind of teased it, but we'll talk a little bit about what's going behind the scenes of our government as well.
Do their eyes blink up and down or side to side?
Oh, you never know these days.
Yeah. But we have a fuck ton of material planned for the rest of this year. So thank you guys, as always, for being in your fucking your home or your car right now and not out fucking, you know, I don't know what they would be doing, not listening to our show.
Listening to music?
Yeah, music's great.
Yeah, I love music.
Not to like, you know, plug anything that's not ours.
Yeah.
But,
listen to the show.
But have you guys thought about music?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Boy Genius was wonderful.
Yeah.
Last podcast like on the left. That's the show. That's what you need to be listening to. Yeah. Or Side Stories. Or No Dogs in Space. Or Page 7. Or Wizard and the Bruiser. Brighter Side is
show. The Brighter Side, yes.
Fraudsters.
On the network. Yes.
Spun. Yes.
The last
all
podcast,
of these shows.
LPN TV.
Yes.
You know? Go to the YouTube
Twitch.tv.
channel.
Subscribe. There's a lot of stuff being made. There's a lot of stuff. We got a YouTube strike this week, so we can't put up our new fucking videos.
Really?
Because there was a fucking YouTube strike. Yes. Because of the video that you showed that we clipped. It was great, but it was the video of the guy snapping his leg on the skateboard.
I didn't show it.
No, you didn't. No, that was Kelsey.
Yeah, we're going to have a long talk. But no, I loved it. We loved the video. Apparently, it's against YouTube's
prompt. It was an accident. I can't believe that's what got us in trouble.
I know it did.
I have no idea.
Well, that's not the only thing we've got in trouble for, but it's... Yeah.
Well, I got in trouble for the ball, though.
How many strikes do you get on YouTube?
I think 3.
What are you talking? Then we got one for the... Can we contest it?
No.
We'll be fine.
No. It's coming from fucking... It's somebody else, man. The AI is doing this to us, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and if you wanted another more good music to listen to, it's been Gezebel Gebergably.
Okay.
They're really good.
Gezebel Gebergably?
Yeah.
That's real?
Yeah, it's real. All right.
I'll check it out.
I've been listening to Miles Davis.
Thank you.
But you should be listening to Last Podcast on the Left. Again, why are we doing this? Fuck music, man. All right? Fucking edutainment.
Yeah, man. Music isn't even real. It's all in
Dude.
Head.
It's made up. It's just noises. Music is just noises, and I don't want to cry, all right? I'm sick of crying. I'm sick of fucking feeling things.
Yeah.
All right? And that's what's nice.
Their new album, Gebirger, is very good.
Gebirger?
Yeah. Gebirger came out last year. Pretty
You're
solid.
Making shit up. You're literally just making up names of bands. That's not real. All right, fuckers. Hail, sweet Satan.
Hail
Perrier, I guess. I don't know. Soda water.
No, we're not.
Water.
Honestly, I think that they're bought by Nestle, so we might want to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck Perrier.
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to find something different.
Yeah, and I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Nestle's evil.
Yeah, they are.
We need
yeah,
to make our own water.
I didn't know it was Nestle, so now we got to find some new shit.
So much of everything is Nestle.
Yeah. Yep.
Arrowhead, fucking all this shit. It's all Nestle. Poland Springs Nestle.
Yep, it's all Nestle.
These motherfuckers. Fuck Nestle.
Edutainment. You wouldn't have learned that from a burger. You wouldn't have learned that.
Oh, no, again, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Bye. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.